And welcome to episode 44 of I'm Trying to Think. I'm Chuck Werner. With me as always is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hey!
This is SpongeBob and Patrick Confront the Psychic Wall of Energy by Flaming Lips. Of course, it's a song from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. Dave?
I like that it is the most sort of Flaming Lips possible title for that song.
Yeah, it's not only just a hugely Flaming Lips title, it's a hugely Flaming Lips song in a movie where the Flaming Lips fit in perfectly.
Yeah.
Although I think this is just played over the credits at the end or something. So
yeah, it's sort of that grand tradition of movie soundtrack music that is not in the movie or, you know, doesn't make... It's inspired by the film is the key word there. Yeah.
All right. So I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them at foundation-institute.org. You can find I'm Trying to Think online at imtryingtothink.com. Don't try to put an apostrophe in there. What would you do that for? Anyways, you can go on Facebook and search for I'm Trying to Think and become a fan, and that makes me happy. So you should do it. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And that will help you know when new episodes come out, which is basically the function.
Pretty much.
Have you felt ever, Dave, that we don't have a good vehicle to communicate to our fans directly?
Define directly in this case.
I don't know. Forum.
There is the internet.
A mailing list. Some sort of, you know, personal introduction site.
You mean like what, personal introduction site?
Yeah, you know. Introductions, like, you know.
No, I'm not sure I follow you. Is that like... That's a category of website that I'm not entirely familiar with.
All right, so like...
Elaborate.
So let's say that you coach a NFL team.
Right.
And you're looking for people who may be interested in your wife's feet.
Right.
You would go to a personal introduction site.
Oh, so like an alt.com. So... Oh, okay. I get what you're saying now. So...
Yeah.
I'll say it right now then. Look for the I'm Trying to Think group on FetLife.com. We'll set that up.
Yeah, we will set that up. Sure,
I'm pretty sure that's a website.
Why not? All right.
No, was it alt.com, kink.com, FetLife.com?
Okay.
You know, what the fuck? I'm Trying to Think will be on all of them.
Yeah, we can branch out.
Yeah, we
have a lot to cover, Dave, so let's
Man, what are we going to be up for, though? Because I think you have to put in a lot of information on those profiles. Specific.
I don't know.
Information.
You know what? This might be a good way to get more listeners, really.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll tell them the show's
about
whatever.
We'll tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
What we think they want to hear.
I'm a big fan of telling
Okay, this is actually a good question. We need to hash this out quickly before we get into the rest of our jam-packed topics.
Yeah, because we have a jam-packed
episode.
Because
you've opened a door.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to say you've opened a door. So.
I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, here's what we need to decide, because we need to put out a unified front on this, I think, you know, to make it... Just solid and compelling to make our internet presence on these sites work.
And to make this episode unreachable by a majority of the population. I'm just going to say that, like, I feel like I opened the door before my party took a short rest. You know what I mean?
Right.
They did not recharge their encounter powers. I was like,
yeah,
we're not ready. This door.
But here we are.
Go ahead.
So the question is, what we need to decide is, what is I'm Trying to Think as an entity that's putting itself out there in these places to meet people? What is I'm Trying to Think into?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Hmm.
If
you're not sure yet, we can come back to it later. But if you've got any additional
I don't know.
Ideas.
We're going to ask about Maybe we should ask people who pay more attention to the show than us. And
that's,
I'm going to get back to that actually later. But so just hang that in the back of your mind like a stocking on the mantle.
So, you know, here's what I'm going to say we're going to do, actually. Because what we need to start doing is, if we want to really pull people in, get them involved in the I'm Trying to Think world, I mean, besides the people we're going to be attracting with our, you know, fetish website profile.
Yes.
Then the question is going to be, yeah, we need to have a continuity. We need to draw them in. So here's what I'm going to say is, you and me are going to need to mull this over for a couple weeks. We can get suggestions, selections from users. Wow, I've been doing too much work. Because selections from users is not what we need.
Thank you, IT Dave.
Yeah, that's too much work. It's been that kind of week. We need
listeners
to get suggestions
yeah.
from listeners. Man, what the fuck?
I don't.
What the fuck?
You got your own thing going on.
That was brutal. Okay. Yeah. So get suggestions from listeners and come up with our own ideas. to figure out what kind of fetish website profile really makes sense for I'm Trying to Think.
I don't know if we need to do that, but it might happen.
Oh, we don't. Okay, need is strong, but it's going to happen.
All right, well, that's your pledge.
Alia Iacta Est, man.
I don't speak Italian.
The die has been cast. That's the Caesar crossing the Rubicon thing.
What's a Rubicon? Is that like a Rubik's Cube?
Basically, yeah. Cool. Basically, what happens is it's
Caesar finds a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from Egypt, right?
Yes.
And he's got to solve it to be able to marry Cleopatra because there's a rule.
Yeah. And then once he solves it, you know, the die has been cast. You know, it's fate. Fate, it's on.
Well, a Rubik's Cube is basically a big six-sided die. So yeah, yeah. You cast it. Yeah. And what did he roll?
Oh, he rolled a blue.
A blue. I think that's the best that you can roll.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, that's why he was the...
Rubik's Cube champion.
Yes. Yeah. Of Rome.
Of Rome. This is, I mean, people can learn so much by listening to the show that they would not otherwise know. Or let me say, to refer to the title of the show, that they would otherwise not think.
Indeed.
They can learn so much from this show that they would otherwise not think was true.
Yes.
Yes.
You brought that around.
I brought that around.
For me to agree with.
Okay, hold on. We got so much to do. All right. Episode 44. First of 2011.
New year.
New year. So obviously we got some things to handle there. Last year, Dave, we produced 19 episodes of I'm Trying to Think. Did you know that?
Nope.
Now you know. 19, Dave. So what we want to do now...
I'll say, as the production team, I should probably have a better handle on these things, but go figure.
Go figure. So what we should talk about right now is our goal for production for 2011. Because at some point, I think maybe it was before 2010 that we went to two episodes or bi-weekly instead of weekly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if we went bi-weekly, we missed a couple. 19 is a little low. Bi-weekly, strictly speaking, would be 26.
Yep.
Obviously. You understand your math.
I can divide the number of weeks in a year by two, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... Do we want to shoot for 20 this year? Do we want to shoot for 25? How do you feel?
Definitely want to shoot for 20. We want to top ourselves. We want to beat ourselves.
Yeah, we want to beat ourselves.
We want to keep it going.
Yeah. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going full steam.
Yes.
Too sweet to be sour. Too nice to be mean.
Mm-hmm. Adam Yauch, still not cancer-free, but closer. Feeling pretty healthy.
Thanks. Thanks, Dave.
I'm bringing it up.
Bringing it down.
Bringing it up.
Bringing it down.
Saying he's doing better.
You brought it up, but then you brought it down. You didn't have to bring it up. And then we wouldn't be brought down. That's all I'm saying.
Saying the reports he was cancer-free, they were exaggerations.
It's just depressing. All right. So what we do every year, in that we did it last year, is we, in the January, the first episode of the year, we do the best of.
Wait, did we actually settle the last thing we talked about or just move on?
I don't know. 20, Dave.
Whatever. Okay, I don't know. 20. Let's add 22.
Okay. I like 23, but we can do 22.
22, 23. Fuck it. We'll see.
We'll see.
Remember, these are at
22
least.
22 and a half.
These are at least targets.
Let's go 22 and a half.
Sure.
We'll do a half episode.
It's the over-under.
Yeah.
Let's take it. 22 and a half.
All right, cool.
22.5.
Can we do a half episode? Or is that an episode when we do a half episode? We're like, well, we do it half as long, or we put in half the effort. But people will still be like, well, that's an episode.
Yeah,
it's like, how much water do you need for something
content.
To be wet? You know what I mean?
Bonus content. I don't know. We can.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, yeah. It's there's a certain philosophical question of what constitutes an episode. Is any discrete chunk of I'm Trying to Think an episode?
Yeah, I don't know. You know. Maybe what we should do is test that out at some point. We could do shorter and shorter episodes with less and less content. Until somebody just said, we receive an overwhelming response.
That it was not an episode?
That was not an episode. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
That's a possible experiment. Just keep it in mind.
Keeping it in mind.
So, best of the year, we're talking about 2010, because talking about 2011 best of the year would be a little limited.
It's slightly premature.
Yeah, it might be a little early. So, we're going to cover the big ones, best song, best movie, best book, like As If We Read,
I read some books, not as much as I should anymore, but usually...
I didn't read any books.
They're not new. I don't read new books.
I didn't read any books in 2010, That's not true. I did read a book in 2010 that was published in 2010.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The new Stephen Hawking book.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, so that's the best of the year. Books are covered. Yay!
Awesome. Go Stephen Hawking. Did you read any
books?
Not published this year, no. Because what kind year. Of last year?
I don't know. No, published last year. Because we're talking about last year. Not this year.
Yeah,
published this year.
Published in
2010. That would be pretty quick because it would, you know, you would have just bought it. It would have been just released, you bought it, and then you read it.
I think what happened is I had a lot of books shipped up to, you know, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've got my book collection, you know, united and pretty much in one place. And then I'm just like looking at it and I'm just like, man, I haven't read a lot of these. So I've kind of been on a new book hiatus until I read a lot of those, mm-hmm. and then I don't read enough, so it's taken a while.
Yeah, that's a whole problem with me. I read a lot, but it's not books. It's just the internet.
Yep.
The internet.
Crap on the internet. And see, here's the problem. The internet used to actually spur my reading, and now, like, my novel reading, uh-huh. and now it doesn't. Because here's the thing about how the internet used to be. It was very slow. If you remember.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Like back in, you know, the 1990s.
Yes.
What I would actually do is, you know, sign on to the AOL.
Yes.
And I'd have a paperback with me. So I'd just be like, oh, I want to check out this website.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
idea. Click. And then, you know, start thumbing through.
Yeah.
Get a couple pages.
Yeah, it would take you like
and then that 5 website
minutes
would load. Yeah.
To download a Naked Lady, for instance.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started on the Naked
Ladies. Took forever.
And, man, they were... They were barely... Some of them weren't even GIFs. It was like Naked Lady Bimps.
You say GIF?
Yeah. I say GIF or GIF?
I say GIF.
I don't know. Some of them were like Naked Lady Bitmaps. Just a lot of pixels and just...
All right. Well,
you know, not so pleasant in retrospect.
Talking about internet crap. Best internet crap of 2010. You have an idea? Mm. Throw something out there? What do you got? What do you got?
I don't know. I don't know which internet crap is this year. Because, I mean, there's clearly been a lot of internet crap in the past 12 months.
Yeah.
I don't know what order it came when. I don't know. Maybe it's... Was Auto-Tune in the news this year? Was that last year?
I think they're both.
I think that's last
there's
year.
New
I don't know nothing.
Year.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
All right.
Man, internet stuff. Man.
You're on the internet every day for hours and hours, and you can't pick a best internet stuff of 2010.
I don't know. I kind of got done with memes.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a meme. It could be an internet show.
I don't know. What's your pick? I mean, you start first because I got nothing right now.
All
right.
So it didn't come out this year, but I got it this year. Netflix Instant Watch.
Oh, you can pick that.
Bam.
That's the thing.
Yeah, bam.
I didn't know you could pick
that. Winner. Yeah, I could pick that.
I thought I had to pick like between like, I don't know, Bed Intruder guy versus like Double Rainbow guy or something.
Oh, well, if
I thought
you had
we were going with there and I don't care.
If you had to pick between Bed Intruder guy and Double Rainbow guy, discuss.
Probably Bed Intruder guy. That guy was a little funnier.
I could go, yeah, I'll go Bed Intruder guy. I'll go Bed Intruder guy. Actually, you know, something I've never used on the show and that I have, there's my iPhone popping open cause I gotta start it up, but I have a little Bed Intruder soundboard. So, I mean, like we could just go into,
you're so dumb.
There you go. Bam.
How
awesome is that?
That's good, because if there's
like
one thing
a morning
we
DJ
needed,
thing
yeah,
we
it's
got
like
now.
Just a morning zoo
it's
machine.
It's slamming in your windows.
There you go. Bam.
Oh, man. I hope that was free.
It was free.
Good.
For real. All
right.
Oh, man.
So that,
I don't feel optimistic about the how that changes the quality of the show. I'm just telling you right now.
I don't. Yeah. I'm not quality. you got a best iPhone app while I have my iPhone?
Oh, man.
You got, I know you're a big Robot Unicorn Attack fan.
Yeah, though lately I, you know, decided to join the rest of the universe and, you know, get the Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
The Angry Birds have been going pretty well.
Plants vs. Zombies.
They're angry.
You got cut the rope.
You got to give that. No, no.
No cut
not,
the rope.
Not a huge iPhone games guy. Like, man.
I got a page of games, Dave. Look at that page of games.
I got a folder of games.
I don't know. Final Fantasy II, okay. Is an awesome iPhone app, but I can't count it because
it's a port.
It's Final Fantasy
port.
Too, yeah.
It's a port.
I'm going to go Angry Birds. Angry Birds may be 3 years old. I don't care. Angry Birds. You win. Go Angry Birds.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Okay.
Those Angry Birds.
All right, let's go. Best
actually,
TV show,
have you seen,
Dave.
In terms of iPhone app, have you seen that crazy-ass translation app?
No.
That is pretty crazy.
Best TV show. Angry Birds.
Oh, man, yeah. Angry Birds, the YouTube video cartoons. Those are pretty
good. If those exist, I'm on board.
Yes, all the cutscenes are on YouTube.
Oh. Like, well, they also have solutions for like for all of them on YouTube.
No, well, that seems no fun. That seems like the opposite of fun.
What if you want to win the Angry Birds? You're like, what if you get angry at your Angry Birds?
Wasn't that when you spend like the extra 99 cents and buy the giant bird?
I'm just saying, you can buy a giant bird?
Yeah, there's the Super Eagle or something like that. It's an in-app purchase now. You're just like, man, fuck this level. You can deploy the giant eagle, and
that's pretty strong.
And it just blows everything up. It's like the nuclear bird.
I might need that. That might be worth a dollar.
Yeah, they're smart, those Angry Birds guys.
They know what they're doing.
Okay, actually, fine. If we're going to drill deeper, hold on. Before we go to best TV show, let's drill a little deeper into this.
Okay.
Best Angry Bird, worst Angry Bird.
First of all, I don't think my birds are angry enough. They just don't. They don't work hard enough.
They don't have the eye of the tiger. Okay.
The best bird by far is the black bomb bird. Who does not like the black bomb bird? I mean, you blow stuff up with him. That's awesome.
Yeah, you blow stuff up with him. He's very heavy, so he can knock through stone.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to love about the black.
I mean, I love the woodpecker yellow bird. You know, if you will.
He seems like the angriest, and I respect him for that.
He flies really hard into things, but you hit stone with him, and it's like...
it's no good.
It's no good.
It's no good.
No. So Black Bomb Bird, he at least goes through stone. Boomerang Bird, there's something to be said just for the entertainment value, but no. Black Bomb Bird.
Okay, worst Angry Bird of 2010.
Worst Angry Bird, Red. What are you doing, Red? You just fly? You don't have a special move? I mean, even a little blue guy breaks ice and has a splitty thing.
You know what I'm going to say? Worst Angry Bird of 2010. And I was so psyched when I first got it. I'm going to say White Egg Pooping Bird.
White Egg Pooping Bird.
Is disappointing.
Know. There's a lot of utility.
On every level.
There's a lot of utility in White Angry Pooping Bird. And this is what you have to do. You fling him just short of his target.
Right? Yeah, then you poop him and raise him.
Then you poop him and he flies up into things. Bam! He knocks shit out.
I figured that out.
Plus you got the bomb.
Yeah, but the bomb's not as... I expected a bomb that was going to be as good as maybe a black bomb bird, who is clearly the bird champion, and it is not.
Yeah. Well, no.
I was going to say that I see the utility of white angry egg pooping bird.
All right.
But it's a disappointing bird to me overall. I expected better things.
All right. Well, I mean, sorry, I'm adjusting the heat here in the studio. You know, it's... if your expectations are high, that's understandable. But can you argue that Red Bird is better than White Egg-laying Bird?
I think Red Bird does a pretty good job, you know, of knocking over wooden structures. And also, here's something I'm going to throw out.
He's weak. He's the Fredo of the birds, of the Angry Birds.
Here's something I'm going to throw out there, actually. Uh-huh. So, the purpose, you know, kind of the raison d'etre, if you will, of the Angry Birds, that these pigs are up jacking their eggs, right?
Yeah.
So, White Egg Pooping Bird
is I know
destroying
what you're
eggs willy-nilly.
I know what you're
going
to say, and I have the answer.
Yeah?
All right. Obviously, the eggs that the pigs stole were fertilized eggs, which will give birth to young. Angry Egg Pooping Bird is shooting out unfertilized explosive eggs, which are never going to be chickens, because they're full of TNT. QED. Problem solved. Now you know. And knowing it's half the battle.
Okay, I can roll with that, but that's still my weakest bird of 2010.
That's fine. All right, best TV show.
Okay, so we've already ruled out Angry Birds cutscenes on YouTube.
Yes, yeah, that's not good.
Because that's not a TV show.
This one's easy, if you want to get serious about it.
Oh, man, what are you going with?
Conan? Yeah. Although Lost, technically, I think, was on this year. And Lost is obviously the best show of all time, but...
of all time?
I'm going to say best new show of this year, Conan.
Yeah, Conan's been strong. I haven't seen enough of it.
I've seen every episode.
It's strong.
Every episode, Dave. This is the wonder of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I haven't been watching a lot of new TV. Like, I totally...
You didn't watch The Event?
No, I had no need to do that.
You didn't watch Caprica?
No, I don't have the cable.
You didn't watch... You have Hulu.
It's true.
You dumbass.
That's true. Oh, actually, that was this year. Was Archer this year?
I don't know. Possibly. Yeah,
I think Archer was 010, and that's my favorite new show then.
010.
I'm going with Archer. The 010.
Like 010. You pick three numbers. Two, not four. Going to go with three of the numbers at random.
I was
born in 978, Dave. 978.
Now that I think about it, what happened with 010, which is still kind of funny, to me at least, and hopefully to someone else.
Yeah, because funny would be helpful. We call ourselves a comedy show.
I was doing the sort of, the year before last year was 09.
Uh-huh.
And so then, now it's 010.
So but you think it's 2011? 2010. 010.
Yes.
2000010.
No. Now I think you're exaggerating my position.
I do want to encourage everybody, though, if we can depart for a moment. Have a party on 11-11-11 at 11-11.
Yeah, do it.
It's going to be a good
time.
That's going to be a good time.
It's a good morning.
Yeah. I think it's like a Tuesday. So
yeah, probably.
You
have to take
the
day off.
Yeah. You got like a night party or something.
Or yeah, it could be the 11-11-11 p.m.
11. Yeah, you can go 11 p.m. I accept that as a cheat. But, or, you know, blow off work for a day and freaking enjoy yourself for once. I'm just saying. So, you don't have a TV show because you don't watch TV?
No, I'm going with Archer. That was a funny-ass show.
Archer is funny. It's a Friday, actually. 11-11-11.
Okay. So, yeah.
A leg and a leg and a leg. All right. That was a really obscure reference. What are we going to do?
I think what we should do is... I think we should take five.
You're ready to take a break already.
Yeah.
Dave, we just started.
That's a lie. That's a damn dirty lie. Looking at the clock. It's a damn dirty lie.
We just started, Dave.
Not at all. That's not even close to correct.
I guess we could take a break, Dave.
Because they raping everybody out here.
I'm just saying. They are raping everybody out here.
Oh, man. That's something. That's something to happen.
All right. Well, then, we will be back in a moment with more I'm Trying to Think. But for now, I will leave you with the delectable sounds of Simon and Garfunkel for no particular reason.
Sure.
All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 44. Dave.
Yeah.
The Boxer. Great Simon and Garfunkel song, or the greatest Simon and Garfunkel song?
Possibly the greatest. Also, I just want to give one of my quick 2010 awards.
Uh-huh.
And for me, this goes to, specifically this year, it was a song by The Extra Lens called Cruiserweights.
Okay.
But really, this award, you know, could happen for probably any year in the past, like, I don't know, maybe 15 at this point. But 2010's award for the subject, which it is much more fun to, like, watch a movie about or, you know, read about or listen to a song about than it is to actually watch, the winner is boxing.
Okay. That was really complicated. I don't even know that I understood what the hell you were talking about.
Basically, I'm just saying, you know, like 2010 alone, you know, there's this song, Cruiserweights, that I really liked, you know.
Okay.
Sad song about boxing.
Boxing is sad.
There was that, you know, that fighter movie I've heard is pretty good. Haven't seen it yet, but, you know,
yeah.
Christian Bale, you know, the Mark Wahlberg doing a story about Mickey Ward, you know.
Yeah.
Supposed to be pretty good, but man, you know what's fucking drag?
What?
Watching boxing.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really enjoyed watching boxing, so.
Yeah, but stuff
wrestling,
about
professional
boxing.
Wrestling is way better.
Yeah, in terms of the entertainment factor.
Stuff surrounding boxing is awesome. I mean, When We Were Kings is one of the best documentaries of all time, if not the best. And, you know, yet boxing is...
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
I will watch When We Were Kings documentaries about... If you can produce that about every fight ever, I will watch all of them, but...
But yeah, the actual like, ordering...
All right.
And is boxing, I think, the one thing on the planet Earth that you, if you are into, you still have to pay-per-view and it's expensive?
Kind of. I don't know.
Like, I don't know this for sure because I don't give a shit about boxing. But yeah, and I guess MMA may have adopted that model. But like, if you want to watch a boxing fight, don't you still have to like pay like $40 for it or something?
I don't know.
I feel like it's something absurd.
How would I know as I'm not a boxing watcher?
Yeah. I mean, I guess considering there's only like 5 of those guys left, I guess they need to milk as much money out of them as they can.
Yep. Anyways, now we come to a tough one, Dave. Best movie of 2010.
Okay, and this is... And, I mean, obviously this would probably be true for all of these things.
Uh-huh.
But I'll just make this explicit with movies because I think it's extra true for movies. And also, for that matter, for music, which we're going to be talking about next, is that these are not, you know... I mean, we participate in and, you know, swim in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are not by trade pop culture critics. We have to do other things in the day. So we haven't seen all the movies.
No, I was just looking at and looking through the list of movies I have seen.
Oh, do you keep a list?
That are 2010. No, no, I just was looking at a list of movies in 2010. And I'm like, which ones have I actually seen? Legion.
Oh, is that the one with, like, angels are, like, evil monster angels?
Well, the angels are coming down to wipe out humanity, yeah. So they're kind of bad.
And there's a crazy, like, spider, ice spider grandma and some sort of...
Yeah.
And some sort of a hideous ice cream man monster.
Yeah, yeah. Those are both in the two. It wasn't a terrible movie as far as bad movies go. And it had the guy who plays the mercenary in Lost... I'm forgetting the name of the mercenary, too. It starts with a K.
Kimi?
Kimi, yeah. Who I love, that actor. And he is Michael, I think.
The Archangel?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is pretty cool. And he gets to wield some kind of crazy spiky mace. And angel fights are pretty good. So that, I mean, but it's not a good movie. It's like a zombie movie or something. I mean, but where you're like, oh, that's serviceable.
Is it like probably best angel fights of 2010? Would you give it that award?
Oh, yeah. Best angel fights of 2010. No contest.
Even better than Toy Story 3?
Did not see it. Did not see it.
Had some pretty good angel fights.
I gotta tell you, did not see it. I don't know. That disqualifies me from certain aspects of humanity, I think. But did not see it. The new Alice in Wonderland, did see that.
Oh, was that actually this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
Wow, I could have sworn it was last year.
No, March, I guess.
We've gone over that on the show already.
At least I think. I don't know. I could be looking at DVD release dates. Who knows? I don't. I know.
It's just a list from the internet.
Yeah, it could be wrong.
Who knows about that shit?
Don't know. So didn't see that, saw that. Did not see, for instance, Repo Men.
There's no need for that to happen.
The Bounty Hunter, or Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Did see How to Train Your Dragon.
I've heard good things. Movie. I heard good things.
Liked it a lot. Very pleased. Clash of the Titans. Saw that. Saw the new Clash of the Titans. Wait, no. No, I didn't. Nope. It's next in my Netflix queue. I got confused. I saw the old Clash of the Titans this year. And it is still old, I can tell you.
Did it not get new?
It did not get new. And there are parts of that movie that I really have to question. Did not see Furry Vengeance. Just get that out there. Did not see Iron Man 2, which is another crime, really.
I mean, not as much of a crime as not seeing Furry Vengeance, because let me tell you.
Did not see Sex and the City 2.
I'm going to tell you best Brendan Fraser pratfalls of 2010.
Oh.
Furry Vengeance. Actually running, oddly enough, Sex and the City 2, which you happen to mention, close second.
Did not see
more
the A-Team.
More Brendan Fraser Pratt falls than you would expect.
Did not see the A-Team. Did not see the Jonah Hex. Did not see Twilight Saga Eclipse, Dave. Did not see it. Did not see Predators. Would like to. Did not see it.
I've heard it's no Predator 2.
Did see...
The one with Danny Glover.
Despicable Me. Good movie. Very good. I liked it a lot. Did not see Inception.
Me neither. I should. I'll totally like it.
Everybody hates us for not seeing Inception, but that's life, people.
Yeah, I still haven't seen True Grit yet, new Coen Brothers.
Nope, haven't seen that.
I need to see that.
Didn't see it. The other guys, didn't see it. Have it on DVD.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, I actually didn't buy it on DVD. I got it at the office Christmas, you know, exchange
Christmas
thing.
Swap.
Yeah, that thing.
Right.
The Expendables did not see it. Okay. Piranha 3D did not see it, Dave.
Okay, I think, you know, I get what we're doing.
I'm not going through everyone on the list, so don't get nervous.
I'm saying it might
be
faster.
We're already into September.
It might be faster if we pick the one we saw.
We're already into September. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, throwing some things out there.
Okay.
Easy A did not see it. Wife saw it. I did not see it. The girl in that is cute, but she's probably like 20, so that makes me kind of gross, but that's life, Dave. That's life. Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahuli. Did not see it, Dave.
Oh, actually, although that does, I do have a best of to drop for that.
Go ahead.
I just want to say right now, basically, best movie title, or at least part of a movie title, that would be good to say as an exclamation.
Mm-hmm.
If you were like a 1960s comic book character being written by Stan Lee,
mm-hmm.
that award goes to By the Owls of Gahuli.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And, yeah, I didn't see Megamind.
Actually, funny thing about the Owls of Gahuli. You're going to say children's, you know, animated owl adventure flick. Who would you think directed it?
I don't know.
The answer isn't Watchmen's Zack Snyder, but that's correct.
Oh.
And that's... if there's a lot of his signature slow motion fighting, but it's with owls.
Yeah, I would watch that.
I believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah. And if
not 100% sure.
If one of the owls does a scene with full frontal nudity, but he's all painted blue, I'm in. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1, did not see it. The New Red Dawn, did not see it. Did not see it. Should see it, did not see it. Tangled.
Heard good things?
Did not
haven't
see
seen
it.
It.
Did not see it. Black Swan.
Haven't seen it?
Did not see it.
So, have we done a good enough job yet at demonstrating that we are the worst people for this category?
Tron Legacy.
Haven't seen it?
Did not see
Don't
it.
Don't care. Really?
Probably going to watch it. The dude is in it. The dude
yeah,
is in it.
Here's my problem.
The Tron abides. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what sort of confused me about the whole Tron campaign? And I'm not super surprised when it bombed.
Yogi
it's
Bear?
Basically bombed. Yogi
did
Bear,
not see
haven't
it.
Seen. Although I will say best parody video of anything. Actually,
you should have just kept
back.
Going with your thoughts. I was just going to interrupt you with more. I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
jokes.
Yeah. But I'm,
I thought
know,
that was going to be
I'm
pretty,
interrupting my own thought. That's a
pretty,
pretty
good,
good
bit.
One,
but
I'm going to say best parody video of anything that I've seen. This might have been – I should have talked about this in the internet stuff, but it's more movie related. It was a Yogi Bear thing, which was basically, I don't know if you've seen – I haven't actually seen it, but I've – you know, heard good, another movie I've heard good things, haven't seen because I'm way behind on all my movies.
Haven't seen it.
Is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Haven't seen it.
But what someone did was basically recreated the last scene of that movie, but it was Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. It was pretty funny.
I don't know what the last scene of that movie is, but it's probably The Assassination of Jesse James.
By the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh.
Correct.
Surprise. Twist ending. Finish so, yeah. your earlier thought.
Okay. The thing that baffled me about Tron Legacy, and this may be something about just sort of nerd culture and the way that sort of nerds are being, basically nerd passion is being mined, like kind of strip mined, you know, kind of in modern culture, because people realize that nerd enthusiasm, you know, pays money for things.
King's Speech. Haven't seen it.
Nope. But, like, the whole promotion and marketing machine of Tron Legacy to me seemed to be assuming and like acting as if there's this like groundswell of like love and fervor and passion for Tron. And it's like, I know a lot of nerds.
Due date. Haven't seen it.
I've never known someone who's like a huge Tron fan. Like, I feel like that's not a thing that exists.
You can't really
you
be
know?
A fan. It's not like there's a full...
There's nothing there. It's
no,
not
there's
a thing.
Not, there's not a lot of there.
No.
No. That's like, okay. All right. Well, so you've got over what I did see this year. And best movie of 2010, Dave, goes to Despicable Me.
That was a pretty fun movie.
It was good. But that's only because I have – probably only because I haven't seen the rest of the movies. And apparently all I saw was Angels Fighting, Despicable Me, and How to Train Your Dragon. I don't know.
I don't know. Did you see The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus?
Yeah, but that was 2009, I think.
No. It was January.
Oh, was it?
This year.
Oh.
I don't know. It may have come out slightly in
– You might have seen it in January.
I saw it in the January, but I saw it in the theater.
Buddy, it's 2009 film. You're okay. Wrong. I did see it, though.
That was pretty good. It was kind of B-level Gilliam where
it, was released it doesn't Christmas.
Quite hang together.
It was technically released Christmas Day, 2009, nationwide, January 2010.
Okay.
So, actually, if we want to count that as a 2010 movie, I'm going to go with Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
All right.
It's a high-quality Terry Gilliam piece.
I don't know. For me, I thought it was one of his sort of B-level pieces where it's still really fun and delightful and imaginative to watch. But it doesn't quite hang together.
Like to me, I don't know, I thought it was the thing
to
about
me, that's what separates the good Gilliam from the great Gilliam.
The thing about a Terry Gilliam movie is that you've seen Dr. Parnassus once, and how many times have you seen like Brazil?
More.
Yeah, Brazil does not hang together on the first watching. His movies always develop more and more and more on multiple viewings because they're very deep. There's a lot going on, and a lot of the time it's just so discreet what's happening.
All right. And I'll give that another watch then.
Yeah.
Sounds worth it.
Yeah.
All right. And then I guess for my top movie of 2010. See, 2010 for me is a weird year for movies in the theater. Because on the one hand, I think this year I probably saw more movies in the theater than I have in a long, long time. But what was a little odd about it
is that they were all at a film festival, so no one's
ever heard of them. Yeah, they were all film festival. It was mostly like, I don't know, I saw maybe, like, I don't know, somewhere between maybe, you know, 5 and, like, 8 movies, you know, in the theater just regularly.
Yeah. You saw, like Interruption, a film about a Polish man eating cheese on a park bench
for a couple of those,
25 minutes.
There were some of those, yeah. Like, then I saw, like, 15 film festival movies.
There's only, I think I've only ever seen one, like, film festival movie, and it was a Jan Svankmajer.
Uh-huh.
Movie, what's it called?
Which one is the one about the twig, like, tree baby?
No.
Okay, so it's not Little Otic.
No.
Is it his Crazy Alice in Wonderland?
No. It's, something of Obsessions. I forget what it's,
Okay, you can look that up, and I'll tell you what my probably favorite movie of 2010 wound up being. And it wound up being Marwin Call. What it is, it's a documentary about
a Polish man eating cheese on a park bench.
No. Although I did see a couple movies that were kind of like that. One of them I liked. One of them was boring, except for the parts with baby goats being cute. That one was good. And then one of them was just a dud. Of the, like, sort of atmospheric foreign movie where nothing happens. But it's, like, one of them was pretty because it was, like, in Mexico on the ocean. I liked that one a lot. One of them was in Italy, so it was kind of pretty, but was boring. But then goats did funny things, so that was cool. Then one of them was just, like, in Sweden and was just a middle-aged lady in a cabin, and it was boring as fuck. Nothing happened.
That one's called movies. Conspirators of Pleasure.
Okay, Conspirators of Pleasure
is very good.
Svankmajer movie?
Yeah, it's funny. It's very good. It's done this. Do all of his movies have the stop animation?
Yes.
Stop motion animation of people?
Not always of people, but they always have stop motion.
Well, I mean, are they always stop motion?
Yes.
Like, even if there are people in it, is what I mean. Because that Conspirators of Pleasure is a stop motion animation using live actors.
Yeah, cool.
Have you seen his Faust?
I have not seen his Faust.
It's also very good.
All right, now after that.
Man, this podcast went from comedy to high art, you know, critique real fast.
So, off to that.
Let's get it down to a fart joke here, Dave.
Hold on. Okay, you can prep your little fart joke, and I'll just finish up wrapping up talking about Marwin Call so we can move on. It's a documentary about basically this guy got jumped outside a bar and got the crap beaten out of him and, like, got his brain kind of damaged.
Okay.
And then what he started doing is he started, like, pouring all of his time and energy into basically creating this, like, doll and, like, figure scale, like, Belgian World War II era town in his backyard called Marwenkal.
Okay.
And he's just started taking, like, photographs of, you know, like, all the dolls in it and, like, telling stories.
Okay.
And it's basically just, it's like, about that, because that's weird and crazy and interesting.
It's kind of interesting. It's also kind of creepy.
Oh, it straddles a lot of lines. Like, you know, there's a doll that, you know, represents himself. And, you know, like, he puts, like, people he knows in there also. And it clearly, like, it's clearly art therapy.
So you would say, perhaps, Dave.
He's snatching your people up, trying to rape
them. Yeah, that happens sometimes in Marvin Call.
So, perhaps you should.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband.
There you go. Although I'm a little disappointed at your horrible soundboard because it lost the two after hide your husband. Because I could have sworn there's a hide your husband too.
It's because I had to press individual buttons for each of those. So
tisk tisk tisk.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess does that wrap up our movies? And
I think we
aptly demonstrated that we have no right to have opinions on them by listing all the ones we haven't seen.
Yeah, so.
And then we gave our opinions. So, perfect.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, we have the one big category left is music, Dave.
That we do.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Because I'm going to just try and keep it succinct.
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 All right, we can do that.
That's too many C's. That's all I'm saying. Also, can we just, for a moment... Jan Svankmajer, what do you picture in your head when you think of him as what he would look like?
Kind of like a skeleton man.
Yeah. This is Jan Svankmajer. He looks like a Swedish physics professor.
Yeah, he looks just like a very pleasant sort of uncle.
Yeah.
Pleasant uncle.
He's Czechoslovakian, but he still looks Swedish to me.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Music.
Music.
Dave.
Chuck.
Dave.
Chuck.
Let's hit the big ones.
All right.
What is? Just give me like 3, 4, 5 tracks that are in the running. Then I want the big one.
All right. We're just talking song of the year?
Yeah.
I'll say one thing that I was not able to get out of my head, and, you know, this is sort of the dreary indie rock category, but, you know, which I'm a fan of.
Uh-huh.
It was Blood Buzz Ohio by The National.
Blood Buzz Ohio. By The National. Stand up straight. This is definitely in your...
Yeah, it's in my wheelhouse.
That's in your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, I like the sort of spin on it that they have, where it's basically, you know, it's indie rock, you know, but it's a sort of, it's a rich baritone.
Yeah.
Usually you kind of get the yelpy tenor, and I mean... You know, my favorite band ever is Talking Heads, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not a man who's opposed to the yelpy tenor by any means.
No, no.
But I like that change of pace.
Let me counter Blood Buzz Ohio with a tenor indie rock song that is in my top 5, Little Lion Man by Mumford & Sons. A little bit high pitch. They got a bluegrass thing going. What the hell, you know?
No, it's kind of Irishy.
Yeah.
Are they Irish?
They are, I think, Scottish.
Okay, because, yeah, this is probably 2000...
Maybe I think of somebody else. But I'll look it up. I'll get the internet. Go ahead.
I'll say, this song, you know, it does not get my top track of 2010, but it definitely gets my award for 2010 of... Song I heard on the radio a couple times, and every time I did, I turned to my girlfriend and was like, oh, this song. What is this song? I think I like it.
Yeah, I do like the song.
But I never found out, I don't think I ever found out what it was until now. I did not connect that to Mumford &
Sons. They
are
Irish. And technically they're folk rock, but let's face it, they're indie music. It's indie music, whatever.
Yeah, it's a bit of both. It straddles that line, but that's a line you're well allowed to straddle.
It's a good song. It's a good song. Okay. Give me another one, Dave. No, okay, let me tell you, actually, you know, when you're talking about lists, I was thinking about this for a while, and, you know, I was looking at other 2010 top songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say Kanye West's songs for this year were not very good.
I don't know, actually.
And people love the shit out of them.
That album?
Like, I've seen, like two or three songs from that album in a top 20 list. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to that album. I do not like it.
I say, I liked that album. I thought it was good. Although, I will say, it needed basically, I mean, clearly part of the album was just like sprawling, ridiculous excess. But basically, it was a good but flawed hour and like 10-minute album that should have been a fucking killer 50-minute album if someone had restraint. But I would actually put Monster on my list.
Yeah, I think that's the
Monster is a pretty ass-kicking song. Ends up
being on a lot of people's top list or top track. I just do not. Power is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I, both of those, I didn't really find a track on that album.
I've got to admit, if bloated, like, bloated, sort of egotistical, ridiculous, like, celebrity, paranoid, weirdo Kanye, I can understand why you're just like, no thank you.
Yeah.
But it worked for me. Monster is probably the track where that most worked for me.
Would any of those tracks make your top five, though?
Yeah, Monster, actually. Oh. Monster's in there.
Then I'm going to counter with this track, which you can just feel free to start laughing at me now, Dave, but it's how I feel. And that's not the right one. Hold on. Okay. We got an A-class operation here. There you go. Kesha, TikTok. Okay. I heard this song, and I was like, this is awful poppy crap. And I hate anything. I hate that stuff, you know?
And then it grew on me. Actually.
It grew on me.
I'm not sure if you hate horrible dance pop.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I love horrible dance pop.
But this was this just too stupid?
It was almost too stupid at first. And then it just grew on me. And now I'm gonna give you a source of why. Because I would not have listened to the song enough for me for it to kind of infect my brain. Except there's a great video.
Yeah, the Star Trek thing?
Where they took old Star Trek clips and synced it to this song, which just made the song that much more lovable. Because I can just think about Sulu dancing and stuff like that, which it helps. I mean, there's a little bit of a
cross-memory thing there.
But
this year, there's really been sort of a dance kind of continuum.
Yeah.
Where what I would say is going on is, how much do you just want to be just dumb and kind of skanky versus how much do you want to be like an art school robot?
Yeah, and
that's sort of the question, you know.
And that's kind of actually that might be where I have a problem with Kanye West's album. Is it diverged from good, strong pop music into this world of like I just don't care. Like, I was never that into Kanye in the first place, but there were certain songs that were just really good. And then he went off in a direction, and I just didn't want to follow. I had better things to do that day. That was a great metaphor.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when I say that, I meant it kind of literally. Like, for example, you know, you got the Kesha thing where I think she's 100%, you know, zero art, like, on that scale, you know.
No, she's
zero,
very
she's zero
shamelessly
art school robot,
just like
100%. You know, just pop,
yeah,
kind of skanky.
She is shamelessly
ridiculous dance hooks.
Just like, I just want people to dance at concerts. That's all. And I mean, that's a simple mission. And
yeah,
I can at least respect that. And I actually
then you
think
got
there's
a Katy
like,
Perry who's you know
yeah.
much still like I would say maybe 90-10.
Yeah.
Then you've got like you know, then you got your Lady Gaga.
And she's going the other
who,
way. I think.
Like I mean, she started just you know like Poker Face, Just Dance. That was just stupid. But now she's, you know, she's wearing the meat dress and she's making the really long videos.
And that's
thing.
The question.
So she's kind of splitting 50-50, like, you know,
what's her
pop
next
song
thing going to be like?
Know,
I mean,
art school robot.
Is her music in the future going to be like just she still does poppy music that doesn't really, you know, just whatever, fun songs with maybe a little bit of like a hidden meaning or artistic theme in them or something, and then continue to do art more as fashion and her videos and stuff like that and keep the music just...
Yeah, I think that seems to be about where she's going to be, as opposed to, say, like, actually, someone else who... I haven't heard the album as much as I should, but was just, like, a really strong debut album to Janelle Monáe.
Okay, I think I've heard
you hear
heard
any
that,
of her
yeah.
stuff?
I think
was
so.
It, whereas she was, like, all art school robot, like, no pop. I mean, she had, like, tremendously, like, catchy, like, sort of retro slash sometimes weirdly futuristic R&B songs. But the whole thing, I mean, her album was, you know, The Arc Android, and is basically a concept album, which is somewhat based on Metropolis.
Okay.
Like, if you're going to grab a song to, you know...
I can.
Tell the what people, throw on a little bit of Tightrope. That was a good song.
Tightrope. Okay, well, I'll get that.
Make that happen, because...
You want to keep... Because
her thing was, you know, just all, like, art school robot. You know, she's dancing, she's doing, like, pop, you know, pop music, pop star stuff, and she's writing songs that, you know, are poppy in some ways, but it's all very weird. And I think that's why, you know, she's going to have a good long career.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she, you know, ever blew up, you know, super poppy. And that's not in the cards for her if she keeps doing, you know, the stuff she wants to do.
I've heard a lot of people already complaining. And it's funny to me because Lady Gaga has not really released a number of albums where you can track a, you know, kind of...
A change?
Yeah.
She released one album and then an album that was basically like that album.
Yeah. And so people are like, eh, she's getting too arty for me. And I'm like, really? Because, you know...
Basically, it means
her
that
personality.
They don't like a meat dress, is what it means.
They don't like a meat dress. All right,
but
well,
yeah,
the music's
the same.
I don't love a meat dress or anything, but you know, I can accept a meat dress. I can get along with a meat dress. This is Tightrope by Janelle Monáe, which is that's a name.
I think it's a good name.
She's got quite a hairstyle on the album cover too.
Yeah, it's an intense, like I said, art school robot.
Yeah. Well, you know. All right, so that's not bad. MIA had a new album this year, and it was pretty good. But none of the tracks made my top five.
Yeah, I wasn't, I don't know, I kind of finished with her. Like, and for me, it's like the album she made before that, I listened to for a couple months after the last one came out. It was like... my workout album. I would mm-hmm. just work out to that album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just got sick of her. Mm. Like, eventually I was just like... Also, I think someone said something. I don't remember where I heard this, but I think someone called her a shitty Missy Elliott. And then I was like...
I don't think that
hit a little bit. But I think I was mostly just sick of it from listening to it for months.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I never got into the next one.
That doesn't occur to me. Another song I just want to mention is the Mavis Staples album. It's really good. And You Are Not Alone is a great track. And it was written by the guy from
Wilco. Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah, whose name I always forget. And a great song. Not in my top five, though.
Yeah, that's kind of a welcome trend in the past, like, 5 years in music is, like, some random sort of hipster, indie, whatever. Well, not hipster, really, but just some indie artists, like, producing and, like, sort of contributing songs to, like, just classic artists they love. Like, there's a Jeff Tweedy did that one with Mavis Staples. Mm-hmm. There's, I want to say it was a Solomon Burke album recently that a lot of, you know, kind of modern, like, songwriters pitched a song in for. Mm-hmm. There was the Loretta Lynn album a couple years ago that Jack White produced. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was an awesome album. So I'm just going to say, best trend of the last 5 years, that. Keep doing that, guys.
Do more of what you just did, yes. And I can get behind that, too. I think it's very good. But actually, here, we'll just get a little bit, maybe, of the Mavis and the Staples. If it'll load. Okay, we got it. Here we go. We'll just get that in there. Okay, apparently I picked in the middle of the...
Yep, they're strumming the heck out of that acoustic
guitar. There we go. I'm with you. Okay. It's a great track. And it's just cool to kind of have those influences come together. Okay. Talking about, though, dance music. And, I mean, dance music and hip-hop for years have always been...
Buddies,
yeah.
The same thing, basically.
But it's been a long time, in my opinion, it's been a long time since they came together in a real fun way. I don't know. I just think that... I don't know. I guess I
know there's been a lot of, like, auto-tune pop, which is hip-hoppy, but basically just dance music.
Yeah.
That's what pop music is now, basically. Sort of this fusion of, like, dancey, auto-tune pop, and it's like, it's got that same sort of clubby stomp that, like, you know, your Kesha has.
Mm-hmm. And this song was fun, and it doesn't strike me that it goes very far outside of that. It isn't anything new, but it made my top five just because I think it's fun. It's a fun song. And fun songs are going to make the list for me before, like, technically intricate songs. So, and that song is Break Your Heart by Tayo Cruz featuring Ludacris. Think of a little hype man from Ludacris there. And I like a Ludacris. I do like a Ludacris.
Yeah, I'll admit that when I hear this, I don't really hear anything different than any other, you know, sort of stompy autotune pop rap.
And there's autotuning definitely too. So yeah.
But, you know, to me it just sounds the same as all of it, but yeah, I like a Ludacris. So, you know, if you're going to have to pick a stompy autotune pop rap song, why not this one, I guess?
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't put this in my top five.
This part isn't too exciting, but here we get a little bit more with the refrain of the fun part to me. Fun little thing. Just a simple thing taken to a nice extreme.
Yeah, I can see where that's pleasant.
My top five is a little weird though, Dave. So that's something we have to deal with. And I think this song is on both of our top fives, if I'm correct. And that is I Can Change by LCD Sound System. If we could sample a little of that.
Yeah, I gotta admit, this was, you did nail my favorite song on that album.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a pretty good album. This was a strong album, except the first song pissed me off. But the rest of the album is great.
I didn't listen to this album a lot, but this song just stuck out when I did. Uh-huh. And I, you know, kind of drug it to a playlist. And so I've been listening to it a lot.
And actually, I'll admit, even the first song is actually good. It just has this problem where it's really... fucking annoying, where it's like for the first 4 minutes it's like really quiet, but then if you turn it up, then suddenly it gets really loud. And it's not like a subtle dynamic shift, it's just a thing where it's like it sounds like it's muffled and under-mic'd.
Yeah,
and then they just kick in the loud stuff.
I think the difference between the two of us is that you actually listen to albums.
Yeah,
and I'll listen to an album
and
just drag tracks out and be like, those are the good ones, because I listen to everything in a, you know, my music service thing,
right?
All right, well, that's a good song, so go get it. All right. That is not my top song, Dave. That's second, though. I think that's number two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's actually why this is a little weird for me, because I'm totally thinking, when I think, like, top things of the year musically, I think in terms of albums now. Cause it's weird, because for a while, I would just listen to everything in my collection shuffled on random,
mm-hmm.
but at some point, I got back into the habit of listening to albums. I don't remember why.
I don't know. Your indie soul came back and was like, no, you have to listen to the songs in context on the album.
Does anybody
produce music that way anymore? I mean, aside from a couple, like, theme albums, or what do you want to call it? Concept albums here and there. But, I mean, like, it's absolutely true of old albums, like a Fleetwood Mac album or a Led Zeppelin album or a...
You had ebb and flow.
Yeah, they had like a very... Because you didn't have a choice then. You didn't have an iPod. You couldn't listen to singles. You'd listen to a damn record.
I don't know. I would say the difference is... Honestly, I think albums still are, you know, listenable and work as albums. I think mm-hmm. people just don't care anymore. That would be the difference. Because it's a singles culture now. I will fully cop to that. Yeah. But I will say the reason that I think I listen to albums, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
is not because of any sort of, you know... indie purism, or like, this is how the music is supposed to be experienced, man. Like, I think of all prosaic, stupid reasons, it's because, like, when my, like, 60 gig iPod broke, and then I had, like, my 2 gig Nano, and I could fit, like, you know, 10 or 20 albums on it, I was just like, I don't feel like shuffling between, like, four artists. Well, you know, I might as well just listen to albums.
That's kind of how I ended up being into alternative music, I think, is because... you would get these pop artists and you would like listen to their albums. You would buy their tape, you know, cause that was what it was in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, oh, here's the song I like. And then just shitty song after shitty song. Whereas if like when I got into They Might Be Giants, the Dead Milkmen and Butthole Surfers, Meat Puppets, those kind of bands.
Yeah, it was more value across the album.
I could listen to a whole album and like all the songs, yeah. And that just was unheard of in other things. And then CDs came, and I just kept kind of going in that direction of getting CDs. I could listen to the whole thing. But then, like, I don't know, senior year of high school, started to make mixtapes. Then freshman year of college, the MP3 revolution started, and since then, I've been a tracks guy, singles, you know? Anyways.
Albums have gotten cheap now again. Like, I get them all in, like, those Amazon deals where it's, like, $3 to $5 an album.
My top song, Dave, of the year. Here it is. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
Taste it. CeeLo Green, Fuck You. Just a beautiful song. I mean, calls back to old R&B stuff. Beautifully written. I mean, technically savvy and fun. I think it reaches across so much time from having, like, you know, just this oldie style of music, this old R&B soul kind of thing, the backup singers and everything. You bring in some, you know, the modern mix techniques and technology that we have now to make these songs sound so good. I think this song is going to last for a long time, despite its R-rated title and content.
See, it was a catchy as hell song. It's a really well-executed song. The one thing that makes me suspicious of it, and I'll say, again, just because you've pretty much nailed, you know, all the great stuff about it, so I'll just, you know, not repeat that, and I'll just take, you know, throw out the other tack, which is, so much of it is sort of based on basically the juxtaposition of basically an old Motown vibe,
mm-hmm.
like that sort of classic 60s sunny pop vibe, but you're swearing a lot. I think, you know, I'd have to, you know, listen to it again in a year, might be a gimmick. I'm not
Dave,
sure.
I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you there, because I think even if you take that out, it's a great song. And
I don't know, because I think a lot of the joy from it comes from, one, it's that juxtaposition of just sunniness and the joy with which he's singing.
Yes.
And it's swearing. Like, well, if you heard any of the radio versions,
not,
they're just sad. The radio versions are kind of sad.
It kills the kind of purity of the song. Not because you're not thrilled in the way like a 12-year-old boy is thrilled to hear the F word, you know? It's not like, ooh, he's saying. But it is, basically, there's no replacement for that term. You could not put anything else in our language in there and express the same thought.
No. I mean,
it's not like he's just saying ass, fuck, dog, shit, cocksucker, motherfucker. It's a sentiment carried in that phrase that is irreplaceable with anything else we have in the language.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not gratuitous. I mean, well, it is gratuitous, but it's, you know, designed and works.
I don't think it is gratuitous. Gratuitous would be that it could be replaced with something else, and he was just using it to get a thrill. Cheap thrill, a cheap, you know, shot, basically. But it's not. You can't say screw you or, you know, to hell with you or you suck. Those are not gonna, those don't carry the weight.
Oh, of course not.
It's two syllables. It's simple. It is vulgar, and it expresses a singular idea and thought that I don't think are expressed in any other way in our language so succinctly and clearly. Fuck you. There's just nothing that goes there. So I don't think it's gimmicky. I don't think it's I think it actually is saying something about our language. Which is, there's no way he could do a G-rated version of that and express the same thought.
All right, and then I will say the counter-argument there, and keep in mind that I do also actually like that song a ton, but I will just say,
no, I know.
The counter-argument there, though, is, even, let's say, I'm on board with you for the fuck you.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I think, you know, if I wasn't, which I think I pretty much was, you sold me there, I agree with a lot of what you just said.
Uh-huh.
But where you could think that things are kind of edging to gratuity's a tip. Is that the same? Yeah. But where you're edging into, you know, giving him a tip, I guess, is just the sort of swear, like, just the swearing in the rest of the song, to me, is what makes it seem kind of
more
gratuitous.
Yeah, there's more in the song that is not G-rated. And I'll agree with you there. And I think there's
a
little bit of...
colors the whole thing somewhat...
There's
like
a little bit of commentary there, too.
Gimmickly.
That-ish. That is kind of like... I guess you could say gimmicky, but also like... This is a guy who produced pop music, who made a huge song. A hugely popular song in Crazy. And, it, you know, it basically is a top 40 guy. And to turn around and say, I'm going to make a single, and I'm going to say whatever I want to say in it, and it's going to get radio play or whatever. That's tough. That's a tough road to hoe.
But he didn't do that. I mean, he you know, copped out with radio versions.
Well, no, I mean, but that, you have to. But
yeah.
I think that says something, though, because he released the R-rated version on the internet where everyone could get it and everyone could hear the real version. And then the album came out and it was played on the radio. So everybody, I think, not everybody, you know, but almost everybody had heard the song already before they heard it on the radio. So they know what he's actually saying, you know?
Incidentally, is there anything, you know, even more so than just, you know, everything else in culture? Is there anything more than that in 2010 that made, you know, just music radio seem more like a dinosaur?
No, I mean,
because
no,
that was
a huge,
intensely just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's the internet is kind of there to almost prove that censorship is ridiculous and stupid. Because, I mean, even kids have more access to the internet than they do to TV. I mean, so why are we even bothering? You know, it's just a stupid cultural thing. I mean, they don't really bother in other countries. In a lot of other countries, you know, there's not the vulgarity law that we have here. It's ridiculous. But that's neither here nor there. I think using the N-word in the song and sung by the backup singers in that context.
Yeah, and then just
is
all
effective.
The, like, weird, like, shit, like, just dropping
but
shit in a lot of
saying
places.
Saying shit, yeah, ain't that some
was
shit.
Yeah, that's that whole thing.
I think it's just, you know...
I mean, it's fun, it's gleeful, but I think it does
I
have some of that 12-year-old kid kind of poking
well, I
and
mean,
swearing
you can't, you
sort
couldn't
of glee
do a song
to
called,
it.
You couldn't do a song called Fuck You that contained all these instances of Fuck You without a little bit of the 12-year-old glee thing in it. Mm-hmm. But I think also another thing that's interesting about it is that it is a song that's like just a soul song, you know, R&B song that's in common language. Just the language he would use when talking to friends. You know, you wouldn't say, ain't that some shh to friends. You would just, I mean, you'd be like, you know. And that's some shit, you know, or whatever. You don't censor yourself when you're talking casually to people. And here's a song where he's talking about a situation that has him very angry, and he's just talking about it in real language, in genuine language. I like that. I think that's the crux of what's going on there. Not that it's not just swearing for titillation. Titillation. All right, Dave.
Yes.
Your top track of 2011. Before we spend an hour talking just about CeeLo.
Too late.
Oh, man.
Too late. But, okay, here's what I'm going to do is, because the reason I had trouble just pulling out top tracks is because, again, because I've been doing the album thing.
You're an album guy.
Yeah, I'm an album guy now, apparently.
Right. We still like you.
So I'll just say right now, favorite album of the year, which I totally didn't see coming because I didn't even care about it until someone mentioned it to me. Because I'm a big Mountain Goats dork, but
yes.
Even I didn't really care that much about, you know, side projects.
Uh-huh.
Because, but man.
You're going down a dangerous road now.
No, I'm going super indie. I don't care because this was my favorite album this year. You know, it just happened.
Go ahead.
The album is called Undercard, and it's by The Extra Lens.
Extra Lens.
Yes.
Is there a song from that that you would like me to play so that...
Sure, yeah, the one that sounds the most immediately good.
But yeah, is there a top track on that album? Is your top track for the year? Or
I guess I would probably just go with Adultery, just the kickoff track. That is a super fun track.
Okay.
But that's the one I think I mentioned earlier, the song about boxing I was listening to this year.
Yes.
You know, that's on there. It's just good songs, but just really well arranged and clever, and I just enjoyed the hell of it. And also,
you're gonna have to. This is a remind me of the name, the lens, the
extra lens,
extra
lens, like, you know, eyeglasses lens.
Okay,
or something.
Here I got it. Here I got it.
Pulled
okay.
it up.
Yes, we've got it.
Here, all right, we'll yeah, lead track would do it
from Undercard. All right, I'm with you so far. I'm with you. There's a mean streak in the sky. This is not too bad. It's interesting. This guy sounds almost... There's this sense that I get that if he went through a different... if he was on a different amplifier, he would sound like Roger Daltrey. Is that me?
No, it's because he's a really fearless yeller when he wants to be like...
Like Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, he doesn't have like... Like, he has a very strange voice, but he is not afraid to just yell, which is
all right.
cool.
Okay, well, we got a lot to do here, so we'll say that's your top track. Is that okay? Is that
sure,
agreeable
works for
with
me.
You? All right.
And then we should probably wrap it up, or at least take a break, because we've been spending a long time on this.
No, we're going strong.
Okay, sure.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Other bests of 2010. What do you got?
All right. Well, I'm going to say one thing that has happened from both on, you know, I picked Blood Buzz Ohio as one of my favorite tracks this year. And I picked that Extra Lens album, which has, I think I mentioned the boxing song, the chorus of that boxing song, which really just hammers home the depressing nature of it. Because basically it's a song about like a horrible, sad, like meaningless cruiserweight boxing fight happening in like, you know, a gym, like a high school, you know, an auditorium kind of situation. And the chorus to that song is just the words, Cleveland, Ohio, 1985. So I'm just going to say one thing I'm going to give. 2010, best place to set your horribly depressing rock song? Ohio.
That's true of 2009, 2008, 2007, 2011.
Yeah, it just struck me specifically this year because at least two tracks from my favorite albums.
But Dave, that means
were both
you're kind of coming down
Ohio
on
songs.
You're kind of coming down on the Cleve. And I got to watch
okay
this year
with it.
Best series I watched almost entirely on Netflix, 30 Rock.
Strong.
Great series. Also, they love the Cleve.
It's true.
So, yeah, great show. All on Netflix, too, except the stuff that's on Hulu, which will be on Netflix eventually.
Yep.
All right, what do you got next?
All right, more bests.
More bests. You're staring at me. What's going on? Best breakup of 2010. What do you got?
Oh, man.
You like, probably got nobody.
We're talking celebrities. We're talking...
Yeah. Celebrity. I don't care. Your neighbors.
Yeah, I don't
care.
I don't think my neighbors broke up. I don't know. I think they're doing okay. I don't know. They might be an old lady. What is it? There's old lady. There's a girl who locked herself out.
Out.
I don't know what she's doing.
Oh, you don't know what she's up to now. Keep us updated.
I don't know her history. Then there's... girl who always parks her stupid fucking car like 2 feet onto the curb.
She's my favorite.
I hope she breaks up with someone.
Oh, ho.
I hope someone breaks up with her. Breaks her damn heart. She gets for parking so shitty. Oh, it pisses me off. Because it should be lined up right so I can line myself up right. It's just, come on. What are you doing?
All right, my favorite
breakup. What are you doing, lady? Hold on. Okay, I need to give a new award.
All right,
the least favorite person to move into my apartment building in 2010, even though she seems like a perfectly decent lady when I've talked to her, is lady who parks her goddamn car like 2 feet on the goddamn curb.
All right, then. Best breakup of 2010, Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy.
Oh,
the whole anti-vax thing, I just hate, just so disgusted with them. Good that they had to go through some horrible crap. And then they found out that their kid doesn't even have autism. He has a brain disorder.
Huh.
So.
And then they found out that whole study was faked.
Yeah, I mean, twice. Like, three or four times now we've found out that whole study
was
crap.
Yeah, but it
was
extra found out this year.
And there's plenty of other evidence that, pisses me off. Go to hell. That's what I say. Anyways.
All right, we got any more awards we need to dole out?
Oh, why? Yeah. We got one big one, Dave. Are you ready? Because this is
sure.
The surprise I was preparing you for earlier. And remember I said earlier something about people who know more about the show than we do.
Yeah.
And they actually, because they actually listen to it.
Uh-huh.
This is probably a question better suited for them, but you're here and they're not. So guess who gets to answer a question?
It's me, isn't it?
Yep. All right. Best I'm trying to think episode of 2010.
Ooh.
To make this easy on you, mm-hmm. I'm going to read the titles of the episodes so you can we can harken back a little. All right?
Do it. Do we'll it. Go, Let's go we'll in go the way quickly, back machine.
But we'll go quickly, but episode 25, Gods and Giggles. Episode 26, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. That was a good one. That was a good one. Episode 27, Trek Talk. Episode 28, Whites. Episode 29, Antebellum. Episode 30, I Went to Hogwarts. Episode 32, Maddened Mime Menagerie. Episode 33, Quality. Episode 34, Spangles. Episode 31, the lost episode, which came after 34, of course.
Yeah, we've had some issues.
Actually, that makes 20 episodes because I was counting. No, this still...
Also, I don't know if you were just doing math with numbers. Keep in mind that episode 42 was that whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So we're down to 18 then. You're right. Mm-hmm. Because 31, it doesn't matter that it was rearranged.
We made 19. But
yeah.
Episode 42, no.
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 Episode 35, A Nice Hello. Episode 36, Overcoming the Adversary. Episode 37, Race for the Grey Cup. Which we never actually went back and saw if our picks won. I don't know. Is the Canadian Football League,
still
are they
going?
Done? I don't know.
Yeah, let's.
I'll try and do some research.
That a to-do item.
Yeah, that's a to-do
Look
item.
Look up, see how our Grey Cup picks did.
Episode 38, Nemesis. Episode 39, Word Up. Episode 40, Rock and Roll Office. Episode 41, The French Connection. Or episode 43, Werner Ranch.
Gotta say, Rock and Roll Office was pretty good, but I think just because it helped me make a lot of sense of a very confusing time in my life, I got to go with episode 34, Spangles.
Spangles. I'm going with, what was it? It was episode 30. No, that was I Went to Hogwarts. That's a good one, too, though. Episode 26, there we go. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. That was a good one.
That was pretty classic.
That was a good
one. Sometimes life just gives you a catalog.
And then you gotta take that and run with it to a place where you really wonder about the phrases people use to describe religious experiences.
Yep.
Anyways, so there you go. There's our best.
Okay.
Now, we do have a final segment.
But we got to take a break.
We got to take a break. We'll take a break. That's fine.
I was going to say, this is a mega episode.
This is a mega episode. There's nothing wrong
with that. I don't know if you know, but we're pushing hour 20, and we're not done.
Hour 20?
Hour 20.
You mean an hour and 20
minutes. An hour
and
20 minutes.
Not 20 hours.
No, we're pushing hour 20.
Which would be...
That CeeLo conversation, longer than you thought.
Longer than I thought. Well, I'm going to give you a choice, Dave. And this is the choice that I was not given.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a reference. You just stared at me blankly.
Yeah, I missed it. Missed it completely.
Interview with a Vampire.
Okay, there you
go. Check it out sometime.
That's a reason I missed it completely. I can tell you right now. I can tell you what I'm not going to bother checking out, too.
You're a terrible person.
It's Interview with a Vampire.
You're a bad friend. Not really. You're a good friend.
I'm just saying, if bad friend is the price I must pay to sort of to remain unengaged with the Anne Rice media empire, then I'm super okay with that.
I don't think she has a media empire, Dave.
I don't know. Two movies got made of her stuff.
Ooh, Empire.
She is a best-selling author.
Here's your choice. We'll either save the Dave asked Chuck
an etiquette question
until next week or next episode, which will be, I don't know, it could be next week. Who knows?
You know.
It's a mystery.
I can already tell you the answer right now is, you know, once we've already gone an hour 20, we might as well go an hour 35. Fuck it. Fuck it.
We're doing it live?
Let's do. Yeah. Fuck it. Let's go.
All right. Well, then we're just going to take a break then.
All right.
And we're going to take a break with more from SpongeBob and Patrick Confront the Psychic Wall of Energy by Flaming Lips. Because why not? It's good. I think we hit a wall. And now here's more. I'm trying to think episode 44 because you haven't had enough.
Somehow. We're blowing it out.
You probably actually have. You probably have stopped listening to this at least once.
You've probably had enough, but tough shit. You get
either
more.
That or you can listen to podcasts at work, in which case you
which
probably...
Which is nice, yeah. Or you've got a real bummer of a commute, in which case I'm trying to think is sorry.
Yeah, we're trying to make it better.
Yeah, we're trying to help. You know, this is going to get your commute both ways, you know? You listen to the first 50 minutes in, listen to the next 40 out.
All right. Let's do it, Dave. You have an editing question.
Right in.
I wish we had some music. We really need to, like, write
get
some
music. Segment themes.
Yeah, segment themes, because we have the segment often, and
like
we need a...
Something like that, yeah.
Dave asks Chuck an etiquette question.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll workshop it. Not on board with the held note. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out.
All right, we'll ask it.
Okay, so...
Or axe, as my people say.
Basically, this one goes, I could give it to you in two ways. Because basically, it's a story.
Okay.
But, so either I can give you the lead up, tell you how I responded, and you can respond to the whole thing. Or I can give you the lead up, and then ask what you said and compare to what I said. Which way would you prefer? I think both have their pluses and minuses.
I think the second way is probably the superior way for radio.
Okay, cool. We'll do it that way.
Or podcasting, as it were.
Okay. So, start out, you know, like so many etiquette questions.
Yes.
This one takes place in the workplace.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so you start out. I'll give you some background. Two things you need to know are, first, workplace restroom conditions. For the most part, it's, you know, one just bathroom with a toilet, you know, unisex mm-hmm. in that way. Gross rock club bathroom, but that doesn't really play into this specifically. Then, second thing is a coworker is basically, for the purposes of this story, like the relevant characteristics, I would say, like, cool lady, I would say she's not the type of lady, like, just to sort of place her on a spectrum, mm-hmm. I would say, she's not the type of lady you would avoid telling dirty jokes around. You know, she has no problem with just, you know, normal human jokes interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not the type of lady where, like, she'll go out of her way to tell the dirty jokes and then laugh too loudly at them.
Oh, you know, right.
She's not that lady either. She's,
okay, I've got
you know,
a picture.
In the middle of that spectrum. So? Okay, so.
So?
I go downstairs because I need to use the restroom.
Right.
It
the
is.
The gross rock. Club restroom.
Sure. It's occupied. So, I wait a bit. It was not that long, actually. It was like, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 seconds, maybe.
Did you say this was
a
unisex
tops.
Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Unisex.
It's a unisex restroom situation. You know?
Okay.
It's just, you know, a toilet. Anyone goes in there and they do. You do what you need to do.
You do what you need to do. The business is taken care of.
Yeah. So, you know, I wait for, you know, somewhere between maybe 20 seconds and a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And... then it's done, you know.
Like you do.
Whatever. You
right.
Know, coworker
okay.
comes out of the room.
Right.
Sees me.
Like you do.
Turns to me and says, and direct quote, like I wrote this stuff down so I'd remember it for the show.
All right, awesome.
Because it seemed important.
Okay.
Direct quote, sorry, I pooped. Just sorry, I pooped is the phrase. So now my etiquette.
Solid.
Etiquette question for you. Is
what
how
would
do
you
say?
Respond
how
do I respond?
How do
okay.
you respond?
My immediate brain response was the thing that came into mind when you said it,
mm-hmm.
which is probably then the thing I would have said because obviously you don't have a lot of contemplative
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
was it's okay? I poop too. I think is
That's where you went.
It's what I would have said. Yeah, you could also go. You know, it's okay. Everybody poops, which kind of brings in a little joke. Haha. But yeah, I don't, I mean, that's not what I expected to be confronted with.
Yeah. Cause it's not a question you expect. Cause for me, I have to assume, I mean, well, actually, should I just go with my answer? Just
Let's
to get that
answer,
out of the way first.
Yeah.
And I would say, I would give this about a B+ is
okay.
Cause I think it worked in that, you know, it's not offensive, but it may or may not have made sense. And that's what I did was kind of gave like a little half shrug and said, you know, happens to the best of us.
You know, there's a certain, you know, that's kind of funny, but
yeah, it's a little funny. It basically, I didn't want to say anything like ridiculously offensive, and I wasn't sure what to say.
If you were going to say something ridiculously offensive, what would you say?
I don't know, honestly.
Like that's gross. I mean,
yeah, I don't know, because
I thought girls didn't do that. I mean, what?
Yeah, well, that would clearly be the most ridiculous thing to say, but
yeah, but I mean, how would you be offensive, really?
I don't know, because really, the thing that
what are you going to say? You're not supposed to shit in the bathroom. I mean, like,
yeah,
that,
there's clearly
that, that's
going
funny.
Scatologically.
Yeah, that's
clearly
funny,
being,
you know,
the problem, the danger zone, where things could go break bad.
Like what?
Like that's where things
are
could break
ask
bad.
Ask her about the quality of the poop. I mean,
I don't know, but here was the
she
thing
wasn't.
That I was
she,
trying.
It's
to
not
think,
like she was
is,
trying to start a conversation about poop.
No. But then the sort of question that I had when I was thinking about it, and I can come up with two answers that I think are plausible, is why that even happened as an exchange in the first place was something I couldn't quite piece together. I feel like it has to be one of two things.
Okay.
Either she was sort of trying to explain or apologize, you know, why that would have taken time. Which, frankly, I don't think a lady should ever have to do just because I'm going to say, you know, as just sort of a pure gender thing. Like, I don't go for, you know, gender comedy that often. But I'll just say, just as a statement of fact, men, as a rule, we don't know what is being done, you know, just the mechanics of it or how long it takes. So, you know, you could be doing whatever in there and you don't have to explain why it took an amount of time.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. It's just, that's fine.
Whatever.
So that's one theory. She was apologizing because it took long. Which, you know, it didn't really, but I don't know, maybe it did overall.
She might have been in there a half hour.
Who knows?
Before you got there.
And then the second theory for the apology, which I will say, you know, having then, you know, used the bathroom, is a very plausible theory.
Uh-oh.
Is she may have been apologizing because she just went nuclear in there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my thought, is you're coming out of the bathroom and you know that you have salted the earth. And you're like, hey. Which, I mean, is also just like, you can apologize, but I know that you didn't have control over that.
Yeah.
Because if I could do it, I know that I would have done it several times in my life. If I could have just destroyed someone's bathroom, there are a lot of times when I would have.
Yeah, but it's not something you control. It seemed like a very strange exchange to me.
It is. That is a very strange exchange. That shouldn't be something that generally
needs to come up.
Needs to happen. Needs to be said. I don't know. That's just me.
No, I think you're in the same general thing as I. It's just, you know, I don't think I paused, which was nice.
The other thing is, like,
I think that was just the thing I said.
Did she think maybe that if she didn't apologize and you went in there, you would come out and be like, what did you do in there?
I don't know.
What happened?
I don't know, because I would not. I would have just let the matter drop. I'd have let that lie.
Yeah. Because, see, my bathroom at work, I've found, often smells almost like raw sewage. And I thought somebody was just going in there and laying a war path. But my coworker tells me that actually it smells like raw sewage because apparently it's not a very good drain there.
It's probably raw sewage?
Yeah, yeah, or something like that, yeah. So that's no good.
Yeah, I think ours is, you know, I don't fully understand what happens in that club. I think people may or may not live there. Like, it's, I don't know, it's confusing to me. I don't know. I just go to work. You know?
Oh, all right. At my bathroom at work.
It's been funky at times.
Yeah, and my work bathroom, because of that smell, I was like, oh, well, I was telling the coworker, I'm going to get a plug-in and just plug it in there. And he said, if you do, the janitors will take it. They will remove it. And I guess, I mean, there's like allergy concerns or whatever.
Yeah, that's
possibly
one of those things where if it's a public space where people are sensitive to that sort of thing, then, and in a university, people,
you know,
environment,
more,
everyone
you know what
is sensitive
everybody
to
is
everything.
Sensitive to?
What?
The smell of raw sewage.
That's fair.
So I'm just trying to, you know, whittle down how many people are, you know, immediately disgusted when they go into the bathroom.
Yeah, we haven't had raw sewage, but I think if you had to pick which of our bathrooms have been used more by junkies. I think I win that one.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, my building is probably older, though.
No, I mean, not my building, in the grand total across time.
My building was a Masonic temple. So you have to think, you know, maybe there were some Masons, you know.
Performing rites.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it Masonic may have been rites. An opium den at one point. Which, I mean, that's not heroin, but it's close.
On the other hand, though, my workplace, you know, is actually pretty old because it's one of, you know, Pittsburgh's converted, you know, churches.
Oh, man.
So, you know, who knows what was going on, you know, in that sort of rectory kitchen living area.
Probably rectory kitchen living activities.
Yeah. But I don't know what those are. I don't know what denomination this was. You know, I don't know what they were into. Possibly speed.
Handling snakes and speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Probably. That's just good old-fashioned good times.
I thought that was more of a tent religion. I didn't know they built really big edifices.
Pentecostals speak in tongues. I don't know if they handle snakes, but...
No, the snake handlers handle snakes, tautologically. But I believe that's also... Is that pretty much the term for the religious practice, or are they a type of Pentecostal? I think they might be a type of Pentecostal.
I don't know for sure. I just know that... That they speak in tongues. And it's hilarious. It's very funny. I mean, it is a very funny thing. I'm just saying.
Can't disagree.
All right. You have anything else to add here, Dave, before we close out the show?
No, I think we closed the books on that one.
We rocked that. We went nuclear in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, etiquette question. Just what are you going to say, I guess?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's just odd.
Sorry. I pooped.
There are some waters you can't help. I don't know. That sentence didn't make sense. I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
We're a little
about
punchy.
It.
It's been an hour 30.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I don't even know. Yeah, where am I?
I don't know. Yeah, let's sign off because we're going mental.
Mental. All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 44 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave and I will be back with episode 45. Okay, Dave. 40 Facebook fans. Episode 44. Just to keep track of that.
Yeah. We made the vow of some kind.
It's closing on.
We're going to pay attention to a thing.
Yeah.
It's not really a vow, but...
No.
Yeah, let's end this. I'm getting punchy. I'm getting punchy as
Dave is completely lost at this point, so that'll be the end of this. So join us for episode 45, where we'll talk about some other stuff. And obviously, if you have... suggestions as to what fetish we should be listed under, then you can email us at contact@imtryingtothink.com.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing so long ago.
If you have any other
so very long ago
comments or questions, you can also email us because we like email. And we read it on the show, and then you get to become almost as famous as us. And I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. You, all this awesome just glory and majesty that we have, you can get a piece of it.
All right. Well, Dave, say goodbye to everybody and bid them adieu.
Adieu.
Yeah. I leave you with the end of SpongeBob and Patrick confront the psychic wall of energy.